We have some rules about asking questions that the congregation has devised. Number one, do not speak until you are recognized. And when you're recognized, we'll stand and wait for the microphone to get to you, because these are being recorded and we need to have the microphone there when you ask your questions. And then when you get through, sit down. Number four, after the initial question or comments, only two rebuttals may take place. Number five, comment only on the subject matter and watch your time. Usually, we have quite a number of people asking questions, and it's not fair if you want to take up all of the time. So, just keep your remarks as brief as possible, and then when the others have their turn, if there's time left, we can get back to you. We'll take questions now. Okay, George Batty.
David, in Don King's track on the woman's hair, Let Her Be Covered, he took a similar approach to this idea that the man can pray through his spiritual head, but the woman can't, so she needs to cover her physical head in order to pray, to bypass her spiritual head and go through Christ. That's basically his position. The thing that I have difficulty understanding is, where does prophesying fit in with all of this? It seems like that we end up basically focusing just on the praying part, and we just kind of bypass the prophesying part. And I don't see, it seems to me like any interpretation you come up with on this headship business, it's got to apply equally to the prophesying as well as to the praying. And I was just curious how prophesying fits in with all of this in your opinion.
I knew you were going to ask that. It's clear that prayer and prophecy both take place in the worship, but we know, of course, that women cannot prophesy in the worship service. And of course, as I've said, and you've said, that it is not limited to what we're talking to about tonight. It is not limited to just the worship assembly or just the worship services. But I think we need to be careful when we try to say that we have to apply in an exact proportions about prayer and prophecy. I can word a prayer verbally, and I can meditate once. But I cannot, I must verbally word prophecy. I cannot meditate prophecy to somebody. Well, I've tried that, but it doesn't work. and so I don't know, George, exactly how to answer that question. Because I don't think we necessarily have to make an equal, in other words, we have to say exactly about the one what we do about the other, because there are different rules that govern both of those. And so even though I don't know how to answer that exactly about how that it affects prophecy, but I understand what you said, and I know Don King took the same position in his track. Is that? Do you want to rebuttal that, George?
Well, something that... I just have this overwhelming feeling that whatever we say to me, whatever I apply to the praying part, I need to apply equally to the prophesying part. It looks to me like they both go together. That's what keeps me from taking that position. Mm-hmm. Because of the angel part, to me, it just looks to me like that. It's like I called one brother and I said, "Do you think this is good angels or bad angels?" He said, "Yes." And if it's a reference to good angels, it's because they're viewing things that are happening. And, you know, when one sinner repents, the angels rejoice in the presence of God. They're concerned about good behavior that takes place on the earth, and we should be concerned about our actions, how they affect heavenly beings. And then we also should think about evil angels. What happened to them is they refused to submit to the authority that God had on them, and because that they rebelled against heavenly authority, they were cast down into everlasting chains of darkness. Jude and 2 Peter. And I just think that maybe if it's a reference to the evil angels, it's a warning. Be careful that you don't leave your place of submission and you end up in the same condition that those evil angels did. And I think about 1 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul said to the elders, they cannot be novices, lest being lifted up with pride they fall into the same condemnation as the devil. And he used the devil and what happened to him as a warning against elders and what could happen to them. It looks to me like that's a similar type of warning being offered to the woman.
And you feel that because of the angels has to do with the evil angels?
I think it can include both a reference to good angels and edifying them and evil angels and taking a lesson from what happened to them.
Do you believe that...
Wait, I'm asking a question. That's just my feeling. I don't know if I can answer all of your questions.
Well, like I said, I think that what I see is that, that we're seeing just a small glimpse of what goes on after we do pray. I don't know that it's necessary to see a small glimpse necessarily of what happens after we prophesy, other than the fact that every aspect of our worship, whether it be telling God's word, if we stand up here and quote Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 5, I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's prophecy. And every aspect of our worship doesn't just stay here, but it goes through the veil. It goes into heaven itself and leaves this place and is there. And I think what we're seeing is just the spiritual aspect of what we're doing. I don't know. I see angels being on equal footing with man.
All right, Jimmy Cutter, and then Richard Bunner after that.
Well, I'm kind of a simpleton. I think the only one who has worse questions than me is Randy Tidmore, but he thinks I ask the worst questions. But, because of the angels, I want to just say something overall about it. I think this may be a subject that we better no one be dogmatic about, because I'm not sure that we have enough information to be dogmatic on whatever position we take. I would maybe offer what George has stated as well. It seems, if you study the context, it does appear that this whole passage is concerned with authority and God's order of authority. And this very verse, the NIV says, for this reason, and because of the angels, the woman ought to have a sign of authority on her head. And so he's talking about authority in connection with the angels as well. So I kind of believe that, you know, maybe it means anything. It might mean, they didn't respect their position of authority. And women need to remember that as well, to remember their position in God's order of authority. But now let me give just a little bit of an example about this order of authority, praying and prophesying. I kind of see it like an owner, a CEO of a business. It's a large business company. He's the owner, he's the CEO, but he has some vice presidents under him. And they've got different departments that they are responsible for. And they have managers under them. And those managers have different departments. And maybe then those managers have a worker under them. And the owner says, one thing I want all of you all to do, on this maybe fifth level down, is I want you to show respect to this manager. I'm giving him authority. I'm delegating him authority over you. I want you to wear steel-tipped shoes and so forth. Well, what would you think if this manager, one of these managers, he never listened to the boss. He wasn't going to wear steel-tipped shoes. He didn't care if the boss said it or not. Well, then he goes in, and the boss knows that this guy, he's a manager over other people and doesn't even have respect for him, the top CEO. But one day he knocks on his door and he says, hey, I would like a raise. Well, I parallel that to prayer. He's going to the boss and he's asking for something, and yet he shows no respect for the authority of that owner because he won't listen to him. He won't obey his word. But then he's got men under him, and he tries to tell them what to do in the company, and they say, well, why should we respect you? You don't even listen to the boss. And so you see, that's kind of like prophesying. I believe a woman, when she cuts her hair, I believe she loses respect. And if she tries to pray to God, it's like God saying, why should I listen to you? You don't have any respect for my order of authority. And when she tries to prophesy and tell someone else, this is what you need to do to be saved, this is the truth, they look at her and say, you don't have any respect for God's order of authority, why should I listen to you? And so I think that's how prayer and prophecy works in with the woman, myself. But anyway, like I said, it's just a simple illustration. But that's
Richard Bunn.
Do you, on this chart that's right here, do we have any other passages of Scripture that support the idea that Christ is a mediator between angels and the Father in heaven?
No, not that I know of. I'm just saying that angels worship Him, and therefore they are under and Jesus Christ.
Okay, that was all that was intending to show, yeah. Then.
And I don't know if they need any mediation. I don't know how to answer that exactly. I just know that Jesus Christ is in the chain of command, so to speak, above angels. And when He stepped away from heaven, He was made a little lower than the angels, in the sense that He came to this earth and was made a man, a physical being. The angels of God worship Him, and God the Father.
Okay, I just wanted to. I didn't know if I misunderstood what you were saying, but
well, I hope that made it clear.
Okay, Jim Crouch, and then Alan Bonfrey.
I don't guess I can be too dogmatic then. I thought I had this figured out. Just a thought, and I'd like your comment, maybe others' comments as well. Because of the angels, could it be that, at least in terms of our understanding of the heavenly realm, what's been revealed to us, angels are not in authority over anybody or anything else, as far as we know? And therefore, we in terms of the order of authority, we might say they are subject in heaven. They are in a position of submission. In the same way, in the earthly realm that we know, women are in a position of submission. Could it be that He's just simply making that comparison, that the angels have a role to play, and their role is one of submission? And those who have accepted that role of submission are accepted by God and given, accepted by Him. Those who did not accept their role of submission were punished. And He's just simply making that comparison for the women who are in a similar position.
Well, you're offering obviously another explanation of because of the angels. I'm not saying that I couldn't change position, that I'm hard, fast, and dogmatic on this position. I am saying this is what I believe, and this is what I have been teaching. It seems to me, because of the angels, because there are these angelic beings, where do they fit into this scheme? And they fit into an equal footing with man, spiritually. And in heaven, in eternity, on the other side of the veil, man and woman, neither male nor female, but are as the angels of God.
I understand that. Just as a follow-up, it's the context is one of authority and submission, rather than a glimpse into what life will be like in eternity. It seems to me that that fits the context a little better than the marriage relationship beyond the grave, or the lack of marriage relationship.
Well, I'm just saying that we are as the angels of God. But, well, it's because of man's authority over the woman that man is in an obstacle, really, between Christ and the woman. I just don't see if Christ is the head of man, he's our mediator between God and man, and our prayers go to God through Jesus Christ. It seems to me that if woman has two heads, then if she has man as her head, and she has Jesus Christ as her head as well, that it would be impossible for her prayer to be mediated through man. And as such, man would need to be covered. And when he's covered, then her prayer does not go through man. Well, there's only way for only one way for man to be covered. It's in a spiritual realm. And to me, it's on the other side, so to speak. It's what's happening spiritually. It's what we're not seeing. And that's what I mean by the other side of the veil. Not in the sense of what it's going to be like when we get there. Does that make sense?
I understand what you're saying.
David, let me make one more run at this. It seems to me like, in order for me to understand what you're saying, or I guess maybe for me to accept what you're saying, there's a couple of problems that need to be worked out. This chain of command and the idea of man praying through Christ to God, and the woman can't pray through man and Christ to God, and so on. It looks to me like that there's a problem with that, because if that's what he were talking about, then this business about the angels should come up in verse 3, not in verse 10. I don't see any contextual connection about this chain of command thing between verse 3 and verse 10, and where it says because of the angels. That seems confusing. And then another thing, I think you've got a real problem on this praying or prophesying. Isn't there as much emphasis on prophesying as there is praying in verse 4?
Yes, but I would say again that there are different rules that are governing the two of them. And I don't think we can make exact parallels and say, well, hard, fast rules about one or the other, because like I said, I can verbalize a prayer or meditate a prayer, but I can't do the same thing with prophecy. And so I don't know that we have to make a rigid rule that whatever applies to one has to apply to the other, unless I'm wrong. I mean, you know.
Well, it looks to me like in verse 4 it's talking about the man. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. It appears to me there's an equal amount of emphasis on prophesying as there is prayer. And then that, of course, would also be true in verse 5.
I believe there's an equal emphasis, but I would say that I think there are different rules that govern the two aspects of the two things. I don't know that we can make an exact parallel and say that just because one thing is happening with one aspect of it, that same thing has to be happening with the other aspect of it. I don't know exactly what's going on in the operation of God with these things that that we're talking about in prayer and prophecy. Of course, today we don't speak by direct inspiration, but I'm not willing to rule out totally the operation of God in that. The operation of God, no doubt, was involved at one time when they spoke by inspiration directly to prophecy. But I just can't say for sure that we have to make, if we make a rule about one, we have to go ahead and say hard fast that it has to be the other one, because to me they're different, they're two different things, even though the emphasis is placed on both of them, that we dishonor our head when we do either one of them. But that doesn't mean that either one of the two are the same thing in the sense that they have to be governed by the same rules. Does that make sense?
Well, not to me, sorry. But I think it seems to me that the emphasis of your sermon here, that the construction of your sermon is based upon this being about prayer. And it's not just about prayer, it's about prophesying also. And you need some construct in order for it to be able to explain prophesying as well. I think that the point of praying or prophesying in this passage is those are the positions in which a woman most likely appears to be in authority. And the reason he addresses those two matters is that when she does those things, she needs to have this sign of authority on her head indicating she's not in authority. And when he says because of the angels, I agree with what George and Jim are saying about that, that he's talking about you better be careful here because of what happened to the evil angels. Or if you want to look at it from the positive side, you need to emulate the good angels. Because they're blessed by God and so on.
Okay, Jimmy Cook.
If Brandy never speaks, then I may be the dumbest in the comments. I might say I've got the dumbest one. But, again, let me give a homespun illustration. If I'm not mistaken, Glenn said this in his speech on angels, and you reiterated it again tonight, that you don't believe that angels in Hebrews 2 are on a higher caste than man. It's just that they have more physical power, is what I think I've been understanding you all to say. Is that right, Glenn? They're kind of more, they're physically stronger.
And spiritually, they're...
greater.
No. Spiritually, they have free will, they have identity, they have things. But physically, you're right. Physically, they're greater in power.
And that's where we're lower than the angels.
Yes.
I'm not sure I agree with that. Let me try to illustrate. I still believe it's a cast. You guys are dumb as hell. It's a caste, and we are below the angels in an order of authority, you might say. Let me illustrate it like this. You know, the governor and lieutenant governor of Arkansas, they hold exalted positions, much higher than I do. But they're not over me. And angels aren't over us, but God has them at a higher level of you might say, authority. He's got them in a higher realm, and they're... When Christ came down to man, he went farther below the angels to man, because man's even below the angels. But anyway, it's something to consider.
Do we have anybody else? Alan, bring that to me.
I'll need more than that.
David, when we preach or teach, don't we have to do that in the name of Jesus, just like when we pray?
Yes, sir.
Well, could that get you out of your dilemma?
I mean, we're worshiping God when we teach.
You mean any time we teach?
Yeah. We're honoring God. But it has to be through Jesus Christ. And I would like to make a comment on the because of the angels. This is just my idea about it. But I think that it really includes the devil and the invisible world. And that when God gave this order of authority, He did it for our protection. Man is protected and blessed by being under Christ. And the woman is protected and blessed by being in her, serving in her role under man. And so, according to Ephesians 6, it seems that the devil is shooting fiery darts at us all of the time. And this is one of the means of protection that God has provided to the woman. And that when she steps out from under that authority, or shows that she does. Now, she can have long hair and still step out from under that authority. And but that long hair is a sign of authority to even these evil angels. She is in her proper role, and she is protected and blessed. And I think that helps her in maintaining her integrity, her faithfulness, and all of those things that she has to have in serving God. Would you comment on that, especially in the name of Jesus?
Well, I do believe that any time we pray, we are worshiping God, and I do believe that when we prophesy, we are worshiping God, whatever we do in word or deed. I don't know how to comment any further on that.
Okay, I was trying to give you an app.
Well, I didn't see it. Okay.
No, let me pursue the angels thing a little bit. In Revelation 22 and verse 9, like you quoted verse 8 and verse 9, it says, I and John am one who heard these things, and when I heard, saw, fell down at worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and of the brethren, the prophets, and those who heed the words of this book. Obviously, you know, he fell down to worship. And we're told not to worship angels upon several occasions. And I think, what does the word worship mean? It means to recognize another's rank or authority over you. And obviously, angels are not in this structure between us and God. Now, you know, whenever I meet a big guy from OU, a big football player, you know, or somebody from the NBA, I might be struck by their size and by their power. And even though I may recognize this guy could beat me to a bloody pulp, you know, the point is I do not worship him. I view him spiritually as a total equal, even though physically his prowess and abilities may be great. And I think that's the same thing with angels. That's what this angel was saying. Even though I'm different, even though I'm more powerful than you, do not recognize me as some kind of spiritual authority.
Could it a man have said it to a woman? That seems to
be. That's not scripture.
I think in Christ we're neither male nor given in marriage, spiritual sense, and that's why I think that's what you're showing. Even though God put women under subjection to men in this system, they are equal spiritual. Now.
Right.
Okay, that's all the time that we have.
George, you don't want George.
Do I want George? No, I already turned one down.
Oh, right did there. You? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought maybe George would have an answer for us.
Thank you, Dave.
Oh, well, I was going to say this. Okay. George. I hesitate to say this because it may sound wrong, but whether or not we agree on the teaching of verse 10 or whatever verse 10 is trying to say, it still does not change the outcome of verse 14 and 15 or the rest of the chapter, that women are to remain covered and men are to remain uncovered.
Amen.
And so